It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation, so call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
All right, the little Beach Boys to bring us into the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with myself, Paul LaVoy, and Dan De Los Santos. We have, you're stealing my notes, Dan?
Yeah,
really?
Man.
Can you hear me okay, Dan?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there you are.
Am I coming in? Okay, great.
Yeah, we have Julie Marshall and Missy Wood.
Yes, we do.
And I saw the post on Facebook. You're getting real fancy with the fonts and everything nowadays.
Yeah, well, if I get their attention, that means they'll show up, right?
I guess so. I'm here.
So, yeah, well, we have Missy and Julie on today because we're going to talk about a great husband and an awesome father and one of our local historians today. We're going to talk about Butch Wood.
And we need to mention, too, that the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I like this time of the month, the first Wednesday of the month. Boy, I don't know how I'm getting this out today. But anyway, the first Wednesday of the month, always the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. And good New Year's for you. Good holiday season, Dan?
Yeah, we're actually really good. A lot of things to be thankful for. With the weather, the family showing up, and certainly have had a great opportunity to visit with some friends that came into town. And then, of course, I got to go out in the Dixie Belle for the lighting.
Just going to
say.
That
was
one of the highlights of 2021 was the Dixie Belle.
I got to tell you, the Bow Parade was an opportunity I'm glad I got to participate in, being the lead boat for the parade. And 75 boats this year.
Including the Grinch.
Yes.
That was pretty fun. Lots of fun.
So today, again, we're going to talk about Butch Wood. You know, when we lost Butch a while back, we mentioned him. We talked about him a little bit, but I never dedicated a show to him. And really, he's one of those individuals, an iconic individual, if you will, to our community, that really deserves our attention and some good accolades to what he did for our community, how he was so involved with the people, different events over the years. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have Missy and his daughter come in, Julie, today to talk a little bit about that. Missy, where did Butch come from?
California.
What part?
He was Brea, California.
Okay.
Mostly, yeah.
So, you know, we know him as Butch, but, you know, I see here that he, you know, depending on who you talk to, he might be called Roy, Butch, or Boo.
Where did all those names come from?
You know, there's a real funny story with this. When Butch and I met and then later decided to get married, we sent out invitations, and my real name is Elaine, and his real name was Roy. So, of course, we had our formal names. And so he invited a lot of the guys from the city that where he was working and stuff. And this one guy says, can you believe this? I got this invitation to a wedding. I don't even know these people. So it was kind of hard. We had our aliases.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Well, and you know, coming from all different parts of the country and ending up in Havasu, I know people that took on their childhood nicknames and other names and a change of name, if you will, come to find out 20, 30 years later, they actually had other different names as you'd find out over the years. So, you know, after talking with Butch, and of course I had the great opportunity to know him in my younger years, and he really became a mentor for me in the whole concept of being a Havasu historian, and got me really involved. I mean, he had this way of getting you interested in history, you know, the cobwebs of the city, you know, deep dark secrets, if you will. but, you know, coming here, he loved the lake. You know, I understand that, you know, he spent quite a bit of time here even before he moved here.
He did. He graduated in 1965, but he's been coming here since he was a little kid. His grandparents had a son that was in the service, and they had the United States had put a group here at a place. And so,
Site 6, right?
Site 6, yes. Mm-hmm. And so when they did that, Butch's grandparents, Nanny and Granddad, came out here to see him. And Granddad loved this place. So they moved here way before Butch ever came, but he used to come during the summers. So since 1952, he's been coming here.
See, that really speaks volume right there. Now, I want everyone to pay attention to the numbers, because to say that you've been coming out here since 1952 is really a statement.
Well, it's really funny you say that, because my father was stationed at Nellis in Vegas, mm-hmm. and he used to come down here in 1951-52 mm-hmm. to fish at Site 6 mm-hmm. and stay mm-hmm. at that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
At
hotel.
Site 6.
That hotel.
If you want to call it a hotel.
The barracks, as
he called it a barracks.
The barracks. It was the barracks.
But there was a steak dinner.
But I have to say that the funniest part about that barracks was that it was, when I came out, it was the Catholic Church. And at nighttime, it was a go-to place for all the teenagers and dancing, and they played music and all that kind of stuff. First time I ever went there after using it as a church, I about fell over. I thought, whoa, I didn't know this had a multi-purpose.
Multi-use facility.
Yeah,
nice.
Really. So it was interesting, but like I said, he's been coming. It's funny because McCulloch came way after. Butch's grandparents lived in Donkey Acres, and that's where he stayed with them. And so the ironic part was Mr. Spratt and, of course, Donkey Acres. And so when McCulloch came, they hired Butch's grandfather to be a maintenance person for them. And so when McCulloch purchased the property, they had to straw deed it from, you know, to get it.
Uh-huh.
And they used Butch's grandparents. So their name is on the original sale, and they deeded it back to McCulloch.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, that is interesting.
Yeah. That's like I said, there's a lot of history that, you know, is probably not that well known.
So, I'm trying to remember the name of the cafe. I usually know the name of it right off the top of my head. But basically, it was our first dining and lounge, if you will, liquor establishment here in the area, and that was there at the cafe out at Site 6. A lot of people have asked that question, what was the first restaurant, what was the first bar? That was the first bar, and of course, it migrated from the military over to the Spratt family, who eventually ran the fishing camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you mentioned the early years, and you touched on something really important to me. As I was speaking with the Hot family, the other show that we had, the two locations that were here were simply Site 6 and Donkey Acres. And there were no dirt roads. There wasn't even graded roads.
Site 6 and Horizon 6.
That's so.
That's what they call it now.
Right. So the question I have, does any memory about Donkey Acres in that area and why it was there in the beginning?
It was off, that was the land that was owned. So Donkey Acres was separate from that. And they had to truck their own water in and everything. I mean, that was a continuum for the few houses that were out there.
Was there a reason they were there? Is it just because they enjoyed living there? Or was there mining? Was there something that brought them there?
I just think because they didn't purchase the property that was in the, you know, that was McCulloch was going to have.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I know it was literally there before McCulloch even bought the property.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a very old establishment. One of these days we'll look into that and get into that further. So now Butch has come to Lake Havasu, and now were you with him at that time?
I came in 67. He came in 65.
Okay. So what was Butch doing here when he got here?
He worked for MPI, McCulloch Properties.
Okay.
And so he worked with, he worked for McCulloch Properties, but he was a real close friend with Bob and his family.
Now, that was in what year, 1965?
When he came out in 65, it was after that, yeah.
Boy, we're down into the three-digit numbers of residents at that point.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
into just a few hundred people. And for a lot of us that don't know when everything started, you know, escalating in our residency, in those early 60s, you know, there were just a few hundred people.
Yep.
As we creeped up closer to 1970, we saw a couple thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working with McCulloch. He's getting out here, and of course they had the bridge is not here.
No,
there's very little here. And then you got here in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
What was here when you got here?
I worked at Valley National Bank.
Okay.
And that's a whole other story. But basically, I started working there part time. I was supposed to work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I started on Monday, and Lawson told me, "Well, I'm going to have you work every day." And then I worked Saturday as well. At that time, the bank was the Chamber of Commerce. It was the bank. It was the information center.
Wow.
So when I would open anywhere from 20 to 25 accounts a day. I also, like 500 to 600 letters that went out to people interested in Havasu. And so Lawson would dictate all these letters. I'd open accounts. And then, of course, it was a teller line. And nothing was automated at that time.
So I take it the flights were already coming in
yes,
with the
were.
Runway on the peninsula?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
okay.
old airport. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the office bar and cafe, that was
That's
the name of it.
That's it. And there's still an office, but obviously in a different place.
Right. Yeah. Well, as Missy was sharing, it covered for so many different things. It was your place to congregate, do business.
Right.
Transactions were concluded there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there was a beverage hoisted on occasion. and so, you know, you got a chance to come out here before you moved here in 67. I'm
we did.
Curious, and you still came.
My
what time of year was it?
It was in the summer. We
oh,
slept
wow.
on picnic tables.
You still came
hot.
Back.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We stayed out at Crazy Horse Campgrounds, which is what it is now. And I'll never forget we got here, and my sister and I, she got on the – we were in the back of a camper truck. They wouldn't let you do that now. But anyway, no air conditioning, no nothing. And my sister got on this little intercom to the front of the truck and stuff, and she says, "Mom?" And Mom says, "Yeah." She says, "If you want to fry hamburgers, just put them in the refrigerator." It was so hot.
Man.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, my dad was in construction, and so he was building our house, and we lived in it while he was building it. We lived in the little camper in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I said, we didn't have a paved street. I mean, it was right there by the high school, and there was no paved streets at all.
Wow.
So it was definitely different in those days, that's for sure.
So let's see. So 1967, we had very little for school system, I believe, at that point.
There was only Smoke Tree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids that...
Oh, Starline, I'm sorry.
Oh, Starline?
Starline, yeah.
Okay. Because I know that we had talked to a couple of kids that actually had to be bussed with a station wagon over to Topok to the one-room schoolroom
right.
that they had out there.
Actually, it was the grade school was here.
Okay.
They had to be bussed to the high school.
Okay.
And they left at 5:30 in the morning. My sister rode that bus for 3 years.
Wow. Wow, that's mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was regarding the Hott family back in 1963. There wasn't anything here. They were driving them in a station wagon down a dirt road to
right.
Topok.
Right.
So, but you got to see the actual first buildings, the schools and things. And
mm-hmm.
so now we got all the kids starting to show up.
Yeah.
And they came from different walks of life, back east. They came from West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
What must have that been like?
Well, it was kind of crazy because even like Julie, when we, Butch and I got married in 69, we had her in 70. And so she was born in Needles. My son was born in Kingman because there was no hospital. And my third child was finally born here in Havasu.
Okay.
So I was like, you just had to go wherever.
That's, you know, and there's just no warning, right? You got, okay, we got to go. It's an hour drive to the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
I can honestly say when I had my son, Dr. Nelson was the one that drove us up there. He was our doctor at that time. And so Butch and I got in the back seat, and Dr. Nelson had his hand over the seat, and he thought I was very close to having this child, and he was trying to calm me down and everything. And so he was squeezing my knee. It wasn't mine, it was Butch's.
That's awesome.
That's good.
I can see Dr. Nelson doing that too.
I love that.
It was pretty funny.
I love that story. Okay. So.
Man, we'll recover from that one by taking a short break.
Let's take a quick break.
That's perfect. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie along with host Dan De Los Santos. You're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, and we'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on 106.3, The Voice of the Free. We'll be right back. We're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Paul Lavoie along with Dan De Los Santos. Brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, our Havasu Pioneers Radio Show sponsor. Also, Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, the Lewis Team, Coldwell Banker, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau, and by Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center, you can visit their website at laughlinnevada.net. And don't forget, our website is the home of all of the archives for the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Pretty sure we're on show number 28 right now.
29.
Is it 29?
Yeah.
Wow. Time flies when you're hosting a show with Dan De Los Santos.
Well, and we've got so many great stories that we've done already. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I would say the story of 2021, I don't know if people could hear me through the banter and all that, would be the Dixie Belle.
Yeah, I would have to say that, too. Oh, you know, we finally made it back under the water with that particular boat and part of the local history.
Right.
So it's out there, and it's operating, by the way. It's out. It's doing tours. I had the opportunity to go out with family the other day. They've got it out, so it's able to be rented out for large venues or even just take a cruise around the lake right now. So
fun.
Yeah.
Don't forget, folks, as listeners, you can call in, make this talk radio, not just listen radio. We do take phone calls, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687.
And if you have a fun story to talk about Butch Wood, give us a call.
And somebody is on the line. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Happy New Year. This is Wayne.
Wayne, how are you, sir? Wayne's going to be on Friday, by the way, as my co-host.
Hey, I just wanted to call you. You mentioned the Dixie Belle, and we had a great time. I had a surprise birthday party for my wife. The Saturday before Christmas was her birthday, and we had a great time. Keith and his wife just treat you like royalty. It was a beautiful night, full moon, village all lit up. New lights on the bridge. It was a great time. We had a nice dinner and a cruise. It was just perfect.
Wow, you're a romantic little devil, aren't you?
Yeah. I did get yelled at, but we had fun.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Looking forward to Friday.
All right. We'll see you then, Wayne. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So we're here with Missy and Julie, and we're talking about Butch Wood. And so we kind of rolled in, we're in the 60s and we're moving up closer to the 70s. Now, Butch got involved with water sports here in Lake Havasu. Mm-hmm. And why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what his role was? Because, you know, back then, I mean, we were all flying by the seat of our pants, and I've got photos of Butch on a water ski, and I mean, what a muscular guy. I mean, he looked like Mr. Atlas out there.
Yeah, he loved water skiing. In fact, it's kind of ironic because when he was around Bob McCulloch and his daughters and stuff, he taught all of them how to water ski.
Really?
So it was interesting to say the least. He had a lot of love for it. Bob put out, sponsored the Outboard World Championships.
Right.
And so Butch was involved with all of that and helped with overseeing, helping putting it on and stuff. Very, very much loved boats and took care of, Bob would have him bring his boat to wherever, Lake Powell or wherever he was at. So Butch really kind of grew up with that whole atmosphere of boating and stuff. So, yep, he did. He loved water skiing and he loved boating. And fortunately, because he knew the right people, he had access to a lot of boats, which definitely helped our kids have fun on the lake too. So
wow, he had the keys to the candy store.
Oh yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or to the toy store, I should say. Mm-hmm. So well, that's fantastic. And you know, they, when I think about the groundbreaking efforts that it took to bring the ski club together, and actually it turned into something that culminated into a really amazing club.
It did.
That many of us, including myself, were part of years later. And you know, I was in did a little tournament water skiing in my younger years. And then, of course, the boat races, which Havasu is well known for. We just got to bring back here recently with the Seabolt family, and I had the honor of working the patrol boat efforts for that particular race. And we had all the boat drivers from back in the day that came out that started the race in that time frame. And so when I think about that, I know I know that Butch would have really liked to have been there to talk with a lot of these people that he knew as they created these races. And for those of you that don't understand, there wasn't anything here. You, when you talk about creating a race in the middle of nowhere and then going, come on down, and they did, and there's no hotels, they're in tents, they're in campers, but they're lining the lake and they're excited as heck to see this boat race, which nobody'd seen in the area ever before in their life. It was groundbreaking stuff back then.
It was. It was. Even Charlton Heston came out for that one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Up in the announcer's box, I remember that.
So, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, as we move up and the bridge comes along, you know, any what role did I mean, of course, he's still working with McCulloch Properties, right?
Yeah.
And here comes the idea and CV and the bridge starts coming in. What do you remember most about his involvement with that?
He was just very active as far as understanding the plans for it and that type of thing. They had the yard, so, you know, which was part of making sure everything was there. He got my dad a job working on the bridge, which was great. My dad was a bricklayer contractor person, so that was good. And so a lot of part of the history for Havasu with the bridge. And then, of course, the dedication after it was done. You know, that type of thing.
Having been there at that time with the dedication of the bridge, that, did you realize how big the magnitude would, how much that bridge would mean to the city this, you know, 50 years later?
You know, Paul, I did, only because of the fact that it was so unique. You know, you have the Grand Canyon, you have all these different things. This brought a huge history factor to Lake Havasu. The ironic part, I was working at Valley National at the time, and I'll never forget, we would get checks in each day, you know, to file in people's drawers, to send out with their statements and that type of thing. And here's this really large piece of paper, and I'm sorting these out and stuff, and I thought, what in the world? And it wasn't bigger than a business check, it was just huge. And on it was the bridge. And it was, they had designed their own check, McCulloch had, to pay for this. So when I saw this come in, I mean, I just about fell over. I'm showing everybody in the bank, look at this, look at
this. Wow.
And so McCulloch did give that to Valley National. It was over their door for a really long time.
I remember seeing that, actually.
Mm-hmm. And so, but you realized right there the magnitude. I mean, they didn't even use a regular check. So, I mean, they expected this to be the calling card, which it was. And it was wonderful to be a part of that and a part of that history.
Man, you know,
that's a great story.
Those groundbreaking opportunities to be part of the things that were that created our town and its history.
Right.
Because, you know, when I look back and I always think of Butch as a historian, the man made the history.
Right.
Before we
and not only that, I was just thinking, we were talking about the peninsula so much, and then you had to transition to call it the island. That must have been different.
Yep, it was. They had to grade out all that dirt and get it ready for to put the water through it and stuff. Yeah, it was. It was a huge transition. But it was needed. It took years to get it there and that type of thing. But like I said, it was just one of those situations where you, when you're going through it and you know that all of this is happening, you don't really feel that important. I mean, you're part of it.
Right.
But it's kind of like putting it together, and you're not real aware of the memories or that somebody else is going to think this is really outstanding because you're having fun doing it.
Right.
You know, we just enjoyed the whole thing.
Ready to take a break, Dan?
Yeah, sure. We'll take a break.
All right. Let's take a short break. Again, you're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Dan De Los Santos. We have Missy Wood here and Julie Marshall, Missy's daughter. And we'll try to work Julie into the conversation here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Second half of the show. All right.
Well, we got plans for her.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Speak Out. We'll continue with the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Stay with us. All right, we're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, the company now known as GDK LLC. Same Mike Bonney, but a new name, GDK LLC. Also, SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, and by Thane O'Brien was Spot On, now the preferred technology partner of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to T.O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And there's one more, Dan. We can't forget Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Well, go ahead.
And if they're not keeping you cool in the summer, they're keeping you warm during the winter.
And we have had a...
Oh, it's been a cold snap.
It's been cold.
Yeah.
I was out at the races on New Year's Day. Holy crow, all bundled up. What the heck is that all about? I thought I was in Havasu.
You know what? And it's starting to warm up today, so I know we're all happy about that.
Right, right.
It's either too hot or too cold, but I love our winters here.
Yeah, could be stuck under 6 feet of snow, right?
So we're here with Missy Wood, and we're here with Julie Marshall Wood, and then Julie Wood Marshall. Sorry, get that right. And we're talking about Butch Wood today. And we've kind of taken everybody up from when Butch first got here in the early 60s. And now we've just talked a little bit about the bridge coming in. But, you know, now all of a sudden we've got, you know, a few thousand people. And we're creating a history, if you will. We're creating a community. And, of course, with that comes an interesting history about certain things that started a lot of our establishments, our businesses and schools and, you know, some interesting anecdotes about, you know, being here. Of course, the boat ski club and the boat races. So, you know, we have the Havasu Pioneers page, and we have all the newspapers that the Havasu Herald had done, and they're archived here in our museum, the Lake Havasu City Museum of History. If you go down there, you'll find all kinds of amazing history about our community. And Butch would go down there faithfully. And he would go through the historic photos and stories that were archived there from the Herald, and he remembered the stories as they occurred back in the day. Now, there's not too many of us that actually have that kind of a memory, let alone really being able to recognize so many different functions that the community did. So he would take these photos as I'm looking at them. By the way, there are thousands of posts from Butch on the Havasu Pioneers page, folks. If you are from Lake Havasu City, or you currently live here, you can go on to Havasu Pioneers on Facebook, one word, and you type in Butch Wood in your search, and you will see an amazing history of our town. What he's done is he's actually gone in, he's taken clips from all the newspaper clippings, and he's written something about each one of these clips and what happened during when the story was being made and when the events were happening and the people that were involved and some of the fun anecdotes that went along with the story that weren't necessarily written in the paper. And, I mean, you could spend weeks and not see it all. And there's so much here about our... Honestly, he was the number one contributor to our historical aspect in the Havasu Pioneers page. And there's... And, you know... But every now and then, Butch would need a break. And you guys would go up in the mountains, take your RV, and you guys would go camping and get out of here, get out of the heat, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking where the camper's all out, and he's looking like he's in the forest somewhere. So was that something you guys enjoyed doing?
Absolutely, yeah. He loved hunting, so he would go for that, whether it was bow and arrow or rifle. Yep, he was definitely a part of all of that. And then camping, yes. Mm-hmm. The kids would come up and camp with us, and yeah.
From the photos I saw, he's quite a fisherman, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he loved fishing.
Did he teach you how to fish, Julie?
I was not a fan of the fishing.
You weren't?
I let
was it the fishing or the cleaning of the fish?
Both. I think the first time I saw one cleaned, I was deciding that was not
for right.
So, no, I let him do that with my kids.
So, Julie, share with us some of the fun things that you remember about your dad.
Oh, my gosh. My dad, very avid in tennis. So, of course, growing up, he tried to teach me tennis, and I was definitely not a pro at all. Finally gave up on that one. I got into learning about all the animals. He would teach me about all that stuff. His grandparents, they were very into, like, looking for rocks and stuff out in the desert. So they would take me. We'd go to Oatman and do that a lot. And, you know, just teaching me how to water ski used to drive me. I used to drive him nuts because I would only double ski. I would never single ski.
Right.
And I would just be towed behind the boat for an hour because I refused to go across the wake.
She's very sour.
Well, we have a caller.
We do. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, everyone. This is Ashley Wood, Butch's other daughter.
Hey. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, Mom and Julie had told me they were going to be there with you.
Yep.
Very nice. One thing I want to make sure she talks about is his divining rods. If she hasn't mentioned that one, that one is definitely quite the hit.
That's funny. I wanted to ask first, Ashley, did you cross the wake when you water skied?
Oh, I probably was dragged. I was definitely not one of the, I'm not very skilled on anything, even on my own feet. So he gave a good effort.
So, Ashley, since we have you on, what was one of the fun favorite things you can remember about your dad?
My favorite would have to be the Campbell Boat Regattas. Boating definitely was a big part of my dad's life, and we never missed a Campbell Boat Regatta, and he never missed announcing a single one. My favorite one specifically would be the year that he said that I could go and do the parasailing. And we called my mom, and he said, I need you to bring down my wallet. I'm going to go Ashley's going to go parasailing. I think I was all of 12 years old. And he forgot to tell her I wasn't alone. And so when they cut the cord and that parasail was floating around over the island by itself, oh, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. And but he always made sure that adventure was plentiful in our lives.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, certainly there was absolutely not a dull moment that I can recall about Butch. And so that certainly lends to his reputation of being just an amazing, fun guy and very active.
Absolutely.
So, okay, tell us about the divining rods.
I got to hear this.
Butch, after MPI, went to work for the city, and he worked in the water department. And a lot of times it was really hard to tell where the water lines, you know, because of what they didn't keep a real good map at the beginning. And so he had a divining rod. And so the guys used to make so much fun of him. Oh, here he comes. He always found the water. So after a while, the guys started saying, would you teach me how to do that?
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
But he was the only one. I mean, when you think about it, and you've heard about divining rods and seen him on old TV shows and stuff like that, yeah, he was very good at that.
I always think of Amos McCoy. Right? Ashley's laughing, too.
I actually remember those shows. Yeah. I remember him using the divining rods.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, and I guess that just doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, like I said, with water and stuff, like Ashley mentioned, I mean, about the boat regattas and stuff, he just was really into that. And when the dam, they needed some people to go down and check, he went and got his scuba diving certification, so he could go down. And he says, I said, well, so what would be one thing that you said was a real shock? And he says, when you get down there, these fish are huge. And he said, and then all of a sudden you turn around and there they are, and it's like, ah! He said, you can almost stop breathing. I mean, it's like they're big fish. So
at
it was
the
interesting.
Intake towers, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, yeah. There's a comment in our Havasu Pioneers page, and there's Butch talking with, I think, Rick Baudry and a couple of other people.
Rich Baudry.
And they're talking about the sturgeon when they were released in Havasu. And Butch said, you know, he was talking to a guy who actually caught one, and it was a small one. But, you know, these things got up to 10 feet, even in our own lake, and people were going, we got Loch Ness Monster. Well, no, they're sturgeon, but only a handful of people knew they were really here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were lucky enough to see one, they were a very Stone Age looking fish.
Yeah.
Scary looking, you know, ugly, and but a couple of people had caught them, and Butch said, well, you're one of the lucky ones because, you know, nobody ever sees those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they didn't survive. But there was a test, and they actually have these things all over the United States in different lakes to see if they would.
If they would survive.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So, you know, I...
We still have Ashley on the line.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ashley.
No, it's okay. I'm liking to listen in on everything. You guys are doing great.
So, you know, in the years that you grew up here in Havasu, were there certain things that you guys used to do together with your dad that you recall? Anything special?
I would definitely say camping was a big thing. You know, he was very much into his hunting. So I can remember the first time I broke my arm at Starline. I told him I had a surprise for him because back then we didn't have cell phones. And I, you know, hid my arm behind my back and then pulled out my giant pink cast. And he said that wasn't the surprise he was hoping for. But, you know, he would go out hunting. I can remember one time he was, he told us when he came home that it was so cold, with his Bronco and he couldn't get the key in. And, so he was very much a MacGyver. I tell you, if you needed something fixed, he knew how to fix it. And if he didn't, he was going to find a way. So he made sure he always knew, even if it wasn't a terrain that he was, you know, absolutely schooled on.
So, Julie and Ashley, what was there to do for kids in Lake Havasu in those days?
Actually, not a whole lot. when I was growing up, we would just go out in the desert and stuff like that. I know at one time they had an arcade, I think, for the kids, like in the 80s or something like that. But my growing up in the 70s, it was mostly just hundreds of cars meeting at Super Block or, you know, Chicks.
Oh, Chicks Bottle Shop.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. Yeah, Mandel's.
What was it called?
Chicks Bottle Shop.
Oh, okay.
We went from Mandel's, which was our big hangout. It was really American Graffiti in every sense of the word. And then we migrated over to Chicks Bottle Shop, where, you know, we mysteriously found beer in our car. I don't know how it showed up there. But
yeah, Dan, you're legendary. I've heard the stories already.
If you had a goatee, you know, you looked like you were 19 around here. But
right.
So... But yeah, that's where we'd congregate. And of course, we were always out at the beach parties or somebody had a gathering at their home, but we were up in the cul-de-sacs, so we'd be down at the beach and you had to have help back in the day. When you went to go to the beach and you were going to one of the gatherings, and the parents, during the daytime, you know, that was our beach. We'd go down to Mud Shark, we'd congregate in some of these locations. We had to have help because your car'd get stuck and you knew it was going to get stuck. It was just a given that you were going to need help getting in and out of there because four-wheel drive, do you know how many people actually owned a four-wheel drive? Not that many people.
Not back then, no.
Not then. Yeah. So, you know, we were helping each other push the cars in and out. So it was very commonplace. And that's even where we were launching our boats. So Site 6 was a big novelty to have the marina. And, of course, the Lake Havasu City Marina was great. Still cost a little bit to put your boat in back in the day. But, you know, that's back in then, in those early years, that's when we had all our unique boats. We had, Dixieville didn't come along until the 83, so we had Miller's Folly, we had our houseboat, we had Miss Havasu Pie. We had a handful of really unique old boats that were on the water, that made us a little iconic back in the day. So, then we had speed skiing. You know, we barely touched on that, but speed skiing was a very big thing back in the day. Mm-hmm. Glenn Dryden, all the guys, I want to give a big shout out, to Sandy, Dryden, who her appreciation of life is this Saturday. She was an amazing individual. Glenn as well, a great inspiration in our water sports, here in Lake Havasu City, along with Butch. And, So I, as we get ready to wind up, you know, what is there anything that we should all remember best about Butch? What's the most thing, the thing that really stands out?
You know, there's not one particular thing that stands out, but I think my brother kind of summed it up best when Butch passed away. And he said, you know, miss, he said, listening to everybody talk about Butch, he was something special to every person he met in their realm. And he said, you know, he said, that's very unique for somebody to be that talented. And I thought, yeah, that's true. So as far as remembering, he loved Havasu. He loved his life here. And he did everything for everybody. I mean, he was such a giving person. So if I was going to remember him at all, it would be the fact that he was a great dad and a good husband and a very giving person.
I think that's, I'd have to agree with that. When I see Butch, I do see him in all wearing all those hats.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, behind every really great man, there's a great woman, which is you, Missy.
Of course.
And, you know, you're out there working in the community, helping out. I see you involved with some of the charity events every now and then. And, you know, you've got your hand in things here locally still. You know, I mean, in your own right, you've certainly helped our community come along all these years.
I've tried.
Plus work with the school district.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
I worked for the school district for 17 years.
Wow. And Julie, what do you do now?
I do insurance, and actually I will be 32 years beginning of February. It started out as AJS with Rick Stevens, and then it was LaPrice Galley, and now it's NFP Insurance.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So, very cool. With Mike. Sure.
Yes, Mike Carr is
right.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And what about your sister?
Ashley, she
yes.
works with UNET.
Oh, still on the
still
phone? Oh, you're still on. We're still on. We're
still listening, you guys. I'm loving it, guys.
We were going to go third person on you.
What do you do,
I work
Ashley?
For River City's United Way. We actually are celebrating our 50th anniversary as well, so I'm very excited, and thanks to my mom for being one of the starting people for that as well here in town.
Wonderful.
Ashley's probably been on the show more than you, Dan.
Well, that's probably true. You know, probably true. I've certainly had the opportunity to work with her on occasion, and they do such a great job over there at the United Way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. I love working with all of you guys.
Wonderful. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being here on our show today. Again, we've been talking about Butch Wood, his amazing history and legacy here in Lake Havasu City, a man who, honestly, if you walk and pound the streets of our town, you'll find a little piece of him everywhere you go.
That's right.
He's had something to do with just about everything that was created in our community, working with McCulloch, water sports, boat racing. So, again, thank you folks for being here. And Paul, you know, what do we got going on? What's any new events coming up this month?
Actually, you were talking about the museum earlier.
Right.
And next Tuesday, we have Jillian Usher coming in to be a guest on Speak Out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
She's going to tell us about the vets exhibit that's happening over there at the museum.
Well, don't forget about the Balloon Fest, which is going to be January 20th through the 23rd. We have 6 ascensions planned, one in the afternoon for Thursday, 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and 1 on Sunday. And so look for those balloons coming over the London Bridge. It's going to be spectacular. We have over 75 balloons this year.
You may get really tired of me on the PA system, too, by the way.
Man.
I'm supposed to be a volunteer in the pipes over there.
Oh, really?
Yep, supposedly.
Okay. And actually, I think we have 80 balloons this year,
right,
now that I think about it.
Wow,
yeah,
that's great.
A lot of shape balloons is going to be really nice to see.
Right. Well, it looks like Ashley dropped off the line, but thank you for being on the show, Ashley, if you're still listening. And Julie, thanks for being here.
Thank
you. Missy, good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
It's been a while, for sure.
It has been a while.
All right, Dan and I will be back with more in a moment. Stay with us. The Havasu Pioneers Radio Show will continue. All right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. The next episode, we call it episode or?
Yeah, the next episode
next
of
hour
Havasu Pioneers.
On Groundhog Day.
Oh, is it the second?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was my parents' anniversary. So, anyway, you had an announcement to make.
Well, I actually just want to bring something up to one of our supporting people because we have our Havasu, the London Bridge Beard Mustache Contest. One of our big supporters, the Bearded Lady Saloon, is hosting the Battleborn Beard and Mustache Competition over there in Pahrump, Nevada. Now, this whole thing all goes to charity. It's going to help the kids. Now, this competition is not only for men, but it's for women. They're going to have whiskerinas. There's even a kid's beard contest in this thing where the kids get to build their beard out of anything they want. So you look online for that. It's going to be a great event.
Sounds like fun.
I'm going. It's going to be it's going to be in March. So keep an eye out for it.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We've got Speak Out 2.0 coming up next after news and a short break. And on Speak Out tomorrow, Brian Springberg returns with sound advice. Dan, thanks a lot. Great show.
Thank you, Paul. We had a great time today.
All right, we'll have this up online later at KNTRTalk.com. Until then, until tomorrow, have a safe day.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.